joining us right now. You just heard the legendary voice, voice of the Giants, the very own Bob Papa on the Fan. What's up, Bob?
Keith, nice to finally talk to you, man. How are you?
Good, good. I've been following you on Twitter. We interact there, and I was doing this Thursday night football show with football coming back, the Hall of Fame game, and I'm like, let me reach out to Bob to see if he'd be nice enough to join me tonight, and here you are.
I love your Yankees passion, though, man. It's so good. It's so good.
It's good and bad. It's good and bad. It gets me in trouble. It also takes me down a rabbit hole of, like, despair and depression. But you know what? If the Yankees win, I will have tears of joy. I will be at every party. I'll be at the entire parade. It'll happen. It'll happen sooner rather than later, I feel.
Well, I mean, you just think about how miserable it's been for the last 2 months. And just hearing on the update that the Orioles are getting beaten right now and, you know, the Yankees are going to be tied for first. I mean, so it feels like things have settled down a little bit.
Good.
Thank God.
Good. Very, very good. I mean, but also looking at the Cleveland Guardians, we're like, hey, maybe they'll be a problem. I don't know. I don't fear Cleveland, but yeah. So let's talk about your fandom. I'm assuming you're a Yankees fan, Giants fan.
Yeah, well, I mean, Keith, my entire family is from the Bronx, growing up a couple of blocks away from Yankee Stadium. And so it was like part of our lifeline. My grandfather worked in the Bronx County Courthouse as the head maintenance guy. I remember the old Yankee Stadium. You could actually see in the stadium. Sometimes he'd take me on the roof at lunchtime, and we could actually watch a game from up there.
Wow.
So we go way back with the Yankees. And, you know, having worked in other sports, the Yankees and the Rangers are the two teams that I can keep my fandom with. So I watch games just like you and everybody else, like screaming at the TV.
Yeah, you know, hopefully more screaming for good. The Rangers had a good run. Let's keep our fingers crossed and all the good vibes that the Yankees will get to where they got to go this year. I'm excited for them to come back. But I'm also excited for football to start. I leaned into it today. You know, I played football growing up. Football is how I went to college, how I got my education. Going to college is where I decided to major in radio and television. So ultimately, football was the vehicle that got me here. And with football being back tonight, I'm just excited for the NFL. But something I mentioned, Bob, as we're looking at these new kickoff rules and how I'm already looking at, you know, a 10-17 score, I just feel like the rules are catered for the offense to succeed, which makes sense, right? There's fantasy football, there's gambling, you need points to be scored. But I feel like, similar to baseball, the game is changing forever, where the traditionalists, like the days of the football that we used to know, smash mouth football and knocking guys out, and I think we're going to be moving further and further away from that. I think these are the last of days before we even see, like, in a decade or two decades, more like two-hand touch flag football. What do you say about that?
I don't know if we'll ever get that bad, but yeah, I mean, listen, player safety is something that's important to the league. And remember, they had that big lawsuit that they dealt with about 15 years ago from retired players because it was really bad the other way. I mean, I was watching something. There's a Twitter account out there or something like Super Sports of the 70s. And they showed like the open to like a pregame show from that. And every single highlight that they showed would have been a penalty in today's NFL. Like,
or at least a fine.
Yeah, and a penalty, and maybe even a suspension.
Yep.
I mean, listen, here's the one thing I'll say about it. As someone that's traveled with the team, when you go into the locker room after the game and you're getting ready to get your bag, to get to the bus, to get on the team charter back home, and you walk through that training room, trust me, it's still an unbelievably physical game.
Yeah.
There's a ton of guys in there. There's guys with ice bags everywhere getting on the plane. There's guys limping all over the place. The amazing thing is that half those guys wind up not even being on the injury report the next week. So as much as people want to say it's gotten soft, trust me, it's still extremely physical what they're doing out there.
Oh, no, I mean, I know it's a rough-ass game. I only played in the college, and part of the reason I stopped playing, I was like, I used to hate walking around campus bruised and battered and sore and just like, it's just a lot to go through life in pain. And like you said, with these guys, man, they go and they ice up and they get in the cold tub and they do their rehab and their stim, whatever, and they're ready to go. And, I mean, the NFL, we talk about player safety. The NFL has Thursday Night Football. The NFL is now doing these Christmas games. I really do believe in the future we see an 18-week season. I do believe that we see the Super Bowl end up being on President's Day weekend where you have the Monday off. Like, I don't think the NFL is going to stop because the NFL is king. It's a cash cow. And as much as they do preach player safety, the almighty dollar is what they're out to get. What do you think about the expansion of the season and all the streaming and, I mean, just the NFL greed? I think they're out to get every dollar, and it's not going to stop.
Well, yeah, and it's unlike the other sports, right? Think about the turnover that exists in the NFL for all 32 teams. So when a collective bargaining agreement comes up and you got players that are saying to themselves, well, they want to increase my benefits, they want to increase my pension, they want to give me longer insurance, they want to give me medical and all kinds of other things, I'm not going to last 15 years. Heck, I'll give up that in order to get more money in my pocket now, because the NFL stands for not for long.
Yep.
So as the money keeps pouring in, the player money keeps going up. And if they go to 18 games and they, you know, everything else that they keep adding and playing on all these other days, and they get streaming services to pay $200 million for one game, well, guess what? A percentage of that goes into the player's pocket. So nobody's going to say no to the money when it comes to that part of it.
Yeah, I mean, I understand it. I don't hate it either, because I watch all these games. And unlike some of the other sports, like I said, I love baseball, but I love Yankees baseball. I watch all the Yankees games. I don't watch a random Angels game for fun. But, like, I will watch every Thursday night football game, every Sunday night football game, every Monday night football game. They can have the Black Friday game. They can have the Christmas game. They got me. I'm watching. And I know all the players. And I play fantasy football. And I'm putting together parlays. And, like, I'm not alone. Like, the NFL is, I think, the one sport in this country where it's not so regional. It's national. We know, you know, you might not know who's coming out of the bullpen for the Arizona Diamondbacks, but you can name some offensive linemen on pretty much every team.
You nailed it. You absolutely nailed it. Because, look, I'm the same way. I mean, once the Yankees are eliminated, I mean, there's been years where I don't watch a second of the remaining of the postseason. And in hockey, I may, you know, I watched the finals this year only because the Rangers had lost to Florida. And I kind of thought Florida was the best team. So I watched a little bit of it. But if you're an NFL fan of your favorite team, you are not missing playoff games. You're watching every postseason right. game. Same thing goes with the NBA. You know, if you're a fan of the Knicks or whatever, once they get eliminated, you're not sitting around watching the rest of the NBA playoffs. It's the only sport. And I think you hit on all the tenets. Look, baseball has always been known as America's pastime. Football in the last 30 years has become America's passion. And that's why their revenues and ratings and everything else blow away. And you take all the other sports and you combine it and it doesn't match the NFL.
The NFL is king. Now, you know, we talked about injuries and we talked about how everybody watches nationally. Everybody just watched Hard Knocks. And what I've said is, this is the best version of Hard Knocks. Why didn't they think of this sooner? Like, why didn't they think of doing the offseason, the Giants being first? I'm like, great for the Giants fans to get a look inside of their team, especially in an offseason where Daniel Jones is rehabbing and they have to make a big decision on the face of the franchise, Saquon Barkley. I'm sure you watched Hard Knocks. I loved it. What did you think about it?
Well, as someone who's been on the inside for at least 30 years and even longer, I learned stuff. There were things that I learned and how they go about their free agency board and their player evaluation. And then the interviews with the college kids. Like, there was that one scene where I think it was Jaden Daniels, where he was talking about a play and then Dable kind of asked him like a personal question and he started to give the answer. And then Dable immediately went back at him and said, "Hey, what's that play? If this is the thing, draw it for him." Like, you know, trying to trip him up. And sort of the intensity and the angst that you kind of felt from Joe Shane and the Giants when it first started, the Hard Knocks, about, you know, how kind of shell-shocked they were with how bad last season went, and then the pressure to improve this football team, and then the whole draft process and the draft and the interactions within, like, that's a place that none of us have ever been allowed to be.
Right.
So I thought it was absolutely fascinating. I thought it was great. I look forward to next year's version with, I'm sure, a different team in the NFL. But the off season has always been the part of the mystery part of the year, right? And now we got a window into kind of what the rhythm and the cadence of is an off season with a front office, and, you know, all the things that go on during the course of that off season to try to build a team that can be competitive for the following year.
Yeah, I think we always say, man, I would have loved to be a fly on the wall during this transaction or these conversations or during the NFL draft, or, you know, how they came to this conclusion on a player or drafting a player or not signing a player. And that's what we were. I mean, I think the Giants obviously had a lot of it produced by HBO and some things for the cameras, but I think they were very transparent. And for Giants fans, I think you needed that closure specifically with Saquon Barkley. And I think now that you have that, it definitely just closes the door on everything and how it went down. And I know Saquon, I just listened to him do the Scoop City podcast with Diana Russini. It is what it is. It's done. It's in the past. I heard Tiki Barber talking about it today. He's like, it's not relevant to us anymore. It'll be relevant when the Giants face the Eagles. But, you know, I mean, people made so much about the conversation, the phone call, all this, that, and the other. I thought it was great theater.
Yeah, I mean, and look, it goes all the way back to the bye week of 2022 when the Giants made a very significant offer and Barkley turned it down, and then, you know, back and forth they went, and he had his mindset on a certain number. Shane, you could just see by his body language, there's only so far he was going to go. And, you know, the point that I've made to a lot of people, if you think about the last quarter of a century, other than the 2000 Ravens with Jamal Lewis as the rookie running back and then Marshawn Lynch with Seattle, what team has really won a Super Bowl with a highly paid frontline number one option running back? It's very look, the Giants have two trophies in their lobby, and it was done with a committee of Ahmad Bradshaw, Brandon Jacobs, and Eric Ward or whomever. And look, Kansas City did it with a seventh-round pick in Isaiah Pacheco. And Brady had a zillion different running backs.
Yep.
And Roethlisberger had other running backs. And Peyton Manning had Joseph Addai, and I can't remember who the other guy was. But, I mean, and do you remember Aaron Rodgers' quarterback and the one Super Bowl that he won? So it's been more of a position that you don't allocate a high draft pick to, and you don't necessarily spend a lot of money on. You do it with a collaboration of backs. And last time I checked, Ezekiel Elliott, as great as he's been, hasn't sniffed a Super Bowl. I never saw Adrian Peterson get to a Super Bowl. So there's a lot of guys of that ilk, and I think it's the by committee thing that's the thing that works in today's league with the passing game the way it is, and the game shifting to more of a passing game.
Yeah, I think the Giants, they did what they had to do. You're 100% correct. I had a chart of the last, like, 15 Super Bowl winners and their leading rusher and what they were paid, and none of them were high-paid running backs. It is not the formula for success. You mentioned Ezekiel Elliott, you know, the stupid Dallas Cowboys. They're paying him to come back, and they're paying the dead cap from the contract that Jerry Jones gave him in 2018. He gave him 6 years, $90 million. And with Tony Pollard, and just like, it's a mistake to pay these running backs. It's also a mistake to draft a running back that high. They drafted Ezekiel Elliott 4. Obviously, Saquon Barkley was drafted 2. But Joe Shane and Brian Daboll didn't draft him. And so I think what you saw in Hard Knocks, which I was telling the Giants fans, is, listen, if the identity of the offense and the team was Saquon Barkley as the captain, as the workhorse, It is no more. The identity of the team is Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. And now this year, they're literally turning the reins over for sure to Daniel Jones. So let's talk Daniel Jones a bit. Like, Daniel Jones has a better offensive line. When you look at Van Rotten and Illuminor and the Raiders offensive line coach coming over. I call him John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt. Runyon.
Yeah, Runyon.
And then, obviously, Andrew Thomas. Like, on paper, you think that they should have a pretty good offensive line in front of Daniel Jones. Dare I say the best offensive line he's played behind. We'll see how it goes. But then also, like, they've given him an all-SEC team at wide receiver with Malik Nabers out of LSU, Jalen Hyatt out of Tennessee, Wandale Robinson out of Kentucky, Darius Slayton out of Auburn. Okay, all those guys can go. All those guys are good receivers that can make plays. They can go, and not for nothing, Motor, he's got a motor. He can go too, Devin Singletary, and we'll see what Tyrone Tracy and whoever else is. Like, I look at Daniel Jones as a guy that I root for because he's had to overcome so much, and now I think this is his biggest test yet. He's coming back from the ACL injury. He may have to alter his running game a little bit and not take as many hits, not tuck and run it as much. But you have the offensive line. You have the receivers. You got to read the defense. You got to make the throws. And this season, it's all on his shoulders to lead the offense and lead the team and be the quarterback that they just paid him to be.
Yeah, I mean, there's no more excuses at this point. And I know I've always been a Daniel Jones fan. Like, his rookie season in the 12 games that he played or whatever, I mean, he did throw 24 touchdowns with 12 interceptions. I mean, it was pretty darn good. But he's got to, based on all those factors that you've laid out accurately, and even some of the guys that played on the O-line last year have now moved back on the depth chart a little bit. It's deeper. It's definitely more accomplished. You know, it's not the best offensive line in the NFL by any stretch of the imagination, but it's, listen, if they can be mid-range, that's all you really need. I think people are sleeping on Devin Singletary as far as what he brings to the table and not understanding how well he fits into what Dable wants to do from a schematic standpoint. And suddenly Darius Slayton, who was your go-to guy, is not your go-to guy anymore. He's your number two, which is what he probably really has always been. He's a nice number two. Nabers is the real deal. And I think Jalen Hyatt has looked like a more mature player this year. He's got a year of offseason under his belt, a year in the weight room, a year studying film. Seems a little bit more relaxed out there. And it's all set up for Jones to either put up or shut up. Now, I know there's a lot of Daniel Jones haters out there.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's an adage in the NFL, right? It's the three P's. Bucky Brooks always talks about it. You got to have the right play caller. You have to have protection, and you have to have a playmaker, right? And Daniel Jones has been through a revolving door. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the National Football League right now. I think we can all agree on that because he wins at the highest level. He's doing things like Brady. But if you look at all these quarterbacks, whether it's Eli Manning, Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, go through the list of Drew Brees, just keep going down to all the guys that have had tremendous success. You know, it really helps when you don't have three offensive coaches in your first 5 years, or right, first 6 years. You have four or five different offensive coordinators. And the other important thing is you don't have six offensive line coaches. That is, there's no quarterbacks have ever had success under that scenario. And I point to Alex Smith, who was drafted number one overall by the Niners. He went through a revolving door, and things stabilized for him when John Harbaugh got there, and he took him to an NFC championship game. They felt Kaepernick would be an upgrade, and then he went to Kansas City and blossomed under Andy Reid because of continuity. You can't expect a quarterback to have that kind of upheaval on a year-to-year basis and expect to be productive in his formative years. Now, with that said, he's got to play better. Can't make any excuses because now he's got 3 years, same system, better O-line, and now he's got that playmaking wide receiver that every team has. And now it's on his shoulders, and I think he's relishing the opportunity to prove a lot of people wrong.
We're on the phone right now with Bob Papa, if you don't recognize the voice, the radio play-by-play guy for the New York Giants. He's great. He's a big Yankee fan as well, but we're going to continue to talk Giants. I'm not going to take your whole night up, But, you know, I got to talk defense with you now. You know, the addition of Brian Burns, I mean, I just think this guy can be dominant. I think that he can help Dexter Lawrence as well as Kayvon. I think that the defensive unit now with Shane Bowen, the Giants defense is going to look different. The Giants defense, I'm very interested to see because the linebackers were already, you know, played like some of the best in the league last year. The secondary, you're still a little bit worried about, but if you get after them up front, it makes it easier for the guys in the secondary. Tiki Barber always says you got to build the ass. And when you build the ass, that's the trenches, that's the offensive line, defensive line. It's so important to start there. And that's what I see them doing when they decide to move on from a Saquon Barkley. And I think the future is bright, whether it's Daniel Jones at quarterback or not. But this defense, I think, right away, when I look at the NFC East, I think this defense is going to be able to play right away because of their guys up front. What do you expect to see out of Brian Burns, Dexter Lawrence, and Kayvon Thibodeau?
Well, first of all, I think Kayvon will become a more consistent player because you got Brian Burns on the other side, who's got, what, 45 sacks in his first 5 years in the league?
Yeah, he's like that.
He's a consistent producer. So I think they make each other better because you can't just focus on one guy. You know, like when Azeez Ojulari was healthy, the Giants had that on both sides, but unfortunately for Azeez, who I still like as a player, just could never stay on the field. So now you got Burns and you got Thibodeau on the end. You got Dexter in the middle and Nunez Roches, and they'll find the next guy to go in there and take that spot from A'shaun Robinson. I like the backers. Look, there is a legitimate question at the cornerback spot opposite of Tay Banks, right? Cordell Slott is going to get an opportunity. I think a lot of people like what they see out of Drew Phillips and what he can do in the slot. They got some veteran guys in there. But look, they got some big shoes to fill at safety with Xavier McKinney gone. I know that Tyler Newbin's coming back from an injury, and he was very impressive before he got nicked up. So it's young. I wouldn't be surprised if somewhere along the line here during camp, they wind up adding some kind of veteran corner to the mix. And there'll be a veteran corner that's available as we go deeper in the training camp, whether it's one on the street or whether it's one that gets cut by a team because they just want to go younger. So I think that's an area that when you look at the Giants, you say to yourself, okay, that's kind of a question mark going in, but if they can get to the quarterback successfully, it does help things on the back end.
Bob, you're the man. Thanks for joining us tonight. I appreciate you taking out the time. Appreciate you interacting with me on Twitter during Yankees games. I look forward to hearing you call the Giants games. We're this close to another NFL season.
All right, I can't wait. First preseason games a week from tonight at MetLife against the Lions, and kind of fired up and ready to go for that and getting ready for this big weekend series, this 9-game homestand with the Yanks. Hopefully Gleyber Torres doesn't boot any more routine grounders.
Yeah, enough of that with Gleyber Torres. Bob, you're the man. Enjoy the rest of your night.
Thanks, Keith.